Hello, guys. You're listening to Beauty Bites with Dr. K, Secrets of a Plastic Surgeon, and it's time for a podcast. Today, it's one of my most favorite trending topics, and we're talking about supplements, longevity, nutrition, all the things we need to be doing to biohack our biology. And I've got Derek Johnson on the podcast. He's amazing. He's an integrative and holistic nutritionist. He has 20 years of experience. And he really empowers his clients to achieve healthy, more fulfilling lives. It's all about personalized nutritional science. So, Derek, welcome to the podcast.
So excited to be here. Thanks for having me. Excited to talk about all good things. I'm sure we could talk for hours, but we'll squeeze it into some, we'll talk maybe about the non-negotiables, as I like to talk to the people about that you got to be doing.
I love that. So you're the founder of New Metabolism and Executive Nutrition, director of Fitness Ridge Worldwide. I'm curious about a couple things that I need to be doing. How do you start when you evaluate a client? Do you start with testing, biologic testing, nutritional testing?
Yeah. So on that note, yeah, New Metabolism was still Derek Johnson Nutrition. And the Worldwide piece was the days with Biggest Loser. I ran the Biggest Loser Resorts as the director of nutrition for almost 7 years. So looking back on how I started in the world of dietetics with my degree being dietetics into the functional integrative space, I had a bunch of health problems myself, and wasn't getting any answers. So once I I started in 99, so almost 25 years, 26 years, I was introduced to functional medicine and nutrition about 20 years ago. And just really eye-opening for nothing I ever learned in school. And certainly once you heal yourself and start feeling so much better, you're like, oh, pivot, I wanna do that. This is amazing. So I've been going strong ever since, can't get enough of it, very much like all the great things that you do. And we're constantly learning, So what we do differently, I would say, is, I know what hats I wear really well. Like, I know what I'm good at. I do a huge piece of my practice is gut health. I work with four different integrative medicine practices because I know when hats come in, where people ask me questions, I defer to people like you, Dr. K. I defer to my integrative physicians for things that I don't do. But we are blessed to be able to run, through our funnel, for lack of a better word, of the things that we're able to test for so we can get down to. Because I think it's safe to say, I think you might agree with this, Dr. K, that when people go to a doctor, many people just get I call it the I'm not dying test. That's what my docs call it. It's really important to get, but they might tell you have low vitamin D and maybe high cholesterol or something like that. But other than that, they're like, you're healthy. And they're like, but I feel like crap. Mm-hmm. And we want to know why, right? So we do some very specific, obviously gut being the big piece of this, and we can talk more about the gut-brain connection. And that's with my history of having tons of gut issues many years ago. We do some organic acid testing. Just, people are like, you mentioned supplements a couple times. Well, I don't know. I want to make sure you're taking what you need and not taking things you don't need. So there are specific ways for testing that, for the things that we can't get from our food, right? And the things that we can't get from our lifestyle. Mm-hmm. And so it's really important. It's a very convoluted area with a lot of, I see ads all the time on social media and things like that. Even I'm like, ooh, that sounds amazing. I would take that if I didn't know what I knew.
You talked about your morning routine and what people can do at the beginning of the day, the middle of the day, the end of the day. Let's run through a successful day.
Let's do that. I've made this saying up, but I believe it's true. We'll stick with the United States. I've been, get blessed to work with people all over the world, but it's very interesting. We've lost the art of being human. Mm-hmm. And so, there's a lot of interesting, literature out there. I think one of the most staggering statistics starting our day, the average American spends 96.7% of their life indoors.
Wow.
Which is one of the worst possible things that you can do. Mm-hmm. You could literally have a great nutrition plan and all these different biohacking things. If you're not getting outside and getting into the direct sun, problems will occur, right? Because I think it's also safe to say, no matter what your background or what religion or what you believe in, no one's going to argue this fact. human beings are designed to be outside.
It's very true. But I don't know how we can escape that these days. It's kind of like the lives we built for ourselves now, unless we're in the countryside on a farm.
Yeah, but there are things that you can do, especially with, you know, people with social media and being on our phones all the time and working and things like that. And the cool thing about sunlight, so starting your day, right, you just have to think movement. First, let's just walk through it. You wake up, every human wakes up dehydrated. Correct? Yes. Mm-hmm. You haven't slept, hopefully, in at least 7 or 8 hours, maybe less. You have to hydrate, right? And so the old, you know, I love Ayurvedic medicine being the oldest documented medicine in the world. Their old, you know, great old thing of just like water, lemon, maybe water and lemon salt. That's become very popular, which I'm a huge fan of. Hydration is key first. Before you do anything, please don't run directly to coffee, which I would say about probably 80%+ of the people I work with do. You have to hydrate. Movement, it could be something which I do this thing called tapping. Other people might want to stretch. You don't need to go out, you know, going outside. For those people that are dog lovers like myself that have dogs, taking your dog out is a good one. So you want hydration, movement, sunlight. And I know there'll be people listening to this, but I live in Chicago and it's winter. We can talk about that if we have time today and what you can do with the happy lamps and other areas. But even if it's cloudy, sunny, or rainy, and you're standing outside on your porch or something like that, you don't have to be directly in the sun. You absorb sun clearly through your eyes, so don't be wearing sunglasses, mostly through, you know, through our skin. And believe it or not, super interesting, you actually absorb light through your ears directly into your brain.
Mm-hmm. Really?
So sunlight is so important, especially before 10 a.m. And that sunlight recreates hormonal responses, including melatonin production, which a lot of people have probably heard and read, it's become very popular in a lot of podcasts in the last 5+ years. In order to create proper circadian rhythm, which is extremely important as a human, that all starts with morning sunlight. So it's hydration, movement, sunlight, before you do anything. And it could be as little as 5 minutes of each. Just meaning, I mean, you could literally be drinking your water. If it's a nice time of the year outside, feel free to be, you know, barefoot and get grounding or something fun like I do. And if you got to take a phone call or check your social media or you're checking your Aura Ring scores or something like that, I love that book, Atomic Habits. Stack habits with current habits you're currently doing and don't try and create new ones so that you can get multiple things done at once, because we're all busy and it's really difficult. But it's, you know, and I was telling a client earlier, she has a big drive to work. And I said, well, when you're going, it's a lot of city driving. So I was like, well, just roll your window down.
Mm-hmm.
And just absorb the sun this way.
Mm-hmm.
Like, there's many things you can do. Park far away. The old thing of like, you go to the office, take your time, make a phone call, walk, take your time into the office. Like, there's so many options that I think we don't think of. It doesn't mean you have to take 30 minutes out of your day to create this huge morning routine that no one has.
Yeah.
You have to implement with current things you're currently doing. Otherwise, that habit is most likely not to stick. And on that note, I'll just throw this in, just 10-second caveat. And the only published research I've ever come across, which from a good friend of mine who's a double PhD, 66 days to create a habit. So now that we're coming up to January, I think that's very important for people to understand, which is why less than 2% of New Year's resolutions stick. And now that people are back to the gyms and doing all those fun things, they don't give it enough time. They're reading books that tell them that neuroplasticity in the brain is going to change in 3 weeks, which is not true.
So 66 days to create a habit.
That's infancy.
Yeah. So far in the mornings we have kind of trying to reset the circadian rhythm with rising early and getting sun exposure before 10 a.m. And then how about like intermittent fasting? Are you a believer in that? Do you recommend?
Yeah, I went to my first fasting seminar back in... it was early 2000s, where it really did change my practice, because in my earlier training, especially in the dietetic stuff, I was just like diabetes and, you know, neuropathy issues and things like that with over fasting and helping people, or it's like a more like life or death situation. So since then, for many years before it became popular, I think it's really important, though, to understand with fasting that not everybody can fast the same. Right, especially with women, In hormones, there's a great book called Fast Like a Girl. I don't even know the author, but I love the book. She's amazing to really tell people the truth behind it. So I find that, and here's the thing about fasting, Dr. K. Everybody fasts. You stop eating and you start eating, right? That's where we get the word breakfast from, break your fast, right? So what I find that people don't talk a lot about is the most important fast that you do as a human. And that's the fast before you go to bed. I find that everyone's into the fasting and the windows and 16:8. I'm all for fasting. I do find that a lot of the people that come to me, because usually several years ago, I was introducing people to fasting. And now in my practice, people come to me that are new and they're already fasting because they read a book or they read a blog or they listen to a podcast. I'm all about that. But they get into something called fasting trap, which several people talk about that are out there that they are great experts. And I agree with it. They overfast. And so I think that you got to be very careful with it. I'm a huge fan of it for everyone. I do believe for most people, and we'll stick with adults for this conversation, that's a whole separate one for children. Breakfast is not the most important meal of the day. We don't need to get into the policies and the politics of why breakfast was created with the food guide pyramid and all that jazz. But the fasting at night is most important because you're setting the tone for the next day. Now, where we could go in reverse, where you're setting the tone by getting water, getting sunlight, getting movement, and setting the tone for the day. But that helps you with sleep. But if you, most people, and there's a lot of rules out there, right? But between light, information, technology, and things we consume orally completely throw us off so that we feel much worse than we should, even if you're not tracking your sleep, based on what you do at, we'll say at least 2 hours before you go to bed. And that doesn't mean you need to meditate and not be on social media. I don't do any of that. I have my routines at night, but in terms of mastering your night, you have to be very careful for what you're consuming. I understand the 3 hour rule. I think two and a half is more doable for most people. So if you're going to bed at 10, what are you consuming after 8? And consumption isn't just oral. Consumption is light, information, and sound.
Very true. It's very true. I think that fasting period, 4 or 5 hours even after your evening dinner, is important so that you can really have cellular rest, like your stomach and digestive tract, and all those cells are working, working, working. They can't be regenerating when they're doing their function. So they need about even 4 to 5 hours after eating to
Yeah, and
experience
there's,
that.
and there's exceptions to the rule. I mean, the professional athletes that I work with, there's some people who need to consume, food later in the evening before bed, and there's always, but for the general, the population, we really need to be mindful of it and make it doable. So if you're someone who's eating at 9 and you're going to bed at 10, I tell people work in 15 to 30 minute increments and slowly shift the time. Don't go 0 to 60 and think you're going to change it overnight because that's not going to happen. And you'll be pleasantly surprised. And if you're tracking, which I'm a big fan of, like the Oura Ring or other things, it's so amazing, right? Because we get most of our deep sleep in the beginning, in the first half of the night, and most of our REM sleep. It's really fun to say, hey, start taking the most important thing you can be taking, right? Which is like magnesium. And I know there's seven types, and we may have time to talk about that, but taking a magnesium, mastering your night, and then all of a sudden they're seeing the data like, oh my gosh, my deep sleep increased by 30 minutes. I'm like, yeah, imagine what that's gonna do over the course of the next 365 days.
Yeah, magnesium is a big game changer. Like, I
It's a
remember
game changer,
first
good
few nights I
chelated.
took that, I was just like a different level of sleep. It's
It's
crazy.
right, it's involved in more metabolic pathways, 350 or something like that, than any other nutrients. So yeah, I always say my thing is if I'm stuck on a desert island and I have a genie wish bottle I could rub and say you get one wish, and there was one supplement I could pick, it would be magnesium.
Wow, not NAD or methyl support. Let's talk about
No,
it too. Let's talk about
because
NAD, methyl support also.
I do have the MTHFR gene, but I think that depending on age, NAD, right? This is a whole podcast, and I know you've spoken with people with the two camps outside of IV or IM, or sub-Q injections of NAD, which I do, you have your NMN and your NR camp, right? But I think that they're great. But on that desert island, I think I would have access to fish. I would have plenty of access to sunlight. Hopefully, there would be food sources. And I think there's a lot of, indigenous tribes and people that are less associated with, being in the city life, that do really well, right? Because they're leading a lifestyle. Back to how I started this podcast, they're leading a lifestyle the human body's designed to lead. So when we push those methylation pathways and other things, right, and we put ourselves in a much more toxic environment, there's a much higher need for NAD or anti-inflammatories or curcumin or things like that because of the lifestyle we lead. But if you're in an environment that is more conducive to being human, there's less of a need for these things. And I think the demand for which we've seen, science, which is amazing, arise and shows what we need to be taking is much higher, especially when it comes to those, methylated vitamins, which is a amazing thing that is a huge game changer for so many people. And on the supplement side, right? Yeah, making sure you're working with a company that is already doing methylated, pieces. So I think, but magnesium for what it does for, so many aspects of the body, is that important, at least to me.
Interesting. Can you talk a little bit about the gut, gut health and how you were mentioning that that's one of the biggest problems with modern life and how people can heal that sort of leaky gut and dysbiosis?
Yeah, I mean, I remember being introduced to Alessio Fasano, gastroenterologist at Stanford, I believe, 20 years ago, that brought the whole zonulin leaky gut thing into light. Right, and back then, even in traditional gastroenterology, they were like, "Look at you, like you had three heads, like you leaky gut, intestinal permeability." So when I first got into this, I did a test. We used to ship our stool samples to Germany, believe it or not. So this was 20 plus years ago. And the practitioner was like, "You have leaky gut." And I was like, "Am I gonna die? Because that sounds like really bad, right?" But if you go with Alessio Fasano and these other people that kind of way before, there's a lot of, and a good friend of mine, Marvin Singh, who's one of the two integrative gastroenterologists in the world, really good mentor to me. Most people believe, and if you look at the testing, as probably you do and a lot of practitioners do, I mean, the amount of people that have permeability or leaky gut is just through the roof based on, lifestyle. I think average American, what are we at, about 73, 74% processed foods that we consume per day. And there's a lot of other things. We live in a toxic environment, sadly, right? And so there's so many things, and that the gut's responsible for breaking down, detoxing through our body, through our liver, et cetera. And so I see a lot of that, because every, client or patient that's referred to me does gut testing. But the beauty about the human body, Dr. K, as you know, is it will heal at any time, right? And to your point with the NAD and those things, we can also slow down and reverse biological aging, right? I mean, I'm 50 now, as my son likes to call me, halfway to 100. And I'm like, "Thanks, buddy." And so it's super funny joke between him and I. And so, we can still thrive. We don't have to fall into the piece of, like, as we get older, we should feel worse. No, you should feel better if you do the right thing. So, and knowing that we have leaky gut, leaky brain, there are a lot of very good experts out there that talk about this. Healing the gut, is one thing, but removing the pieces or the issues that created the permeability or leaky gut is the problem, right? We don't want to just do what we typically do and, traditional allopathic medicine is trace symptoms, is we want to get down to causation. So why was that caused, right? Is it overuse of antibiotics or NSAIDs, stress? Obviously, the diet, the stuff that I focus on with food, nutrition, and lifestyle all have a huge impact on there. So yeah, there's great products out there for leaky gut that work wonderful. My favorite, I'm not, one of the, I call it the OG. The original gangster of that is GI Revive from Designs for Health, but there's a lot of great products out there that are similar, that work
Let's
great, that have the mucilaginic herbs and glutamine.
say that one again so the audience can catch the name of it. What was the
It's
OG?
called GI Revive,
Okay.
by Designs for Health. So yeah, we have a product that's the same as on our website called Restore. And there's a lot of great products out there that you can take. Actually, and then because I know this is your world, I don't know if we'll have time to talk about it, but yeah, even in, especially with my IBD cases, ulcerative colitis, Crohn's disease, the use of these just amazing peptides, which are now being, unfortunately, as we both know, getting harder to find, the BPC-157, how instrumental that is. But I think when I get a permeability case, leaky gut, it's all back to that. How do you start your day? What are you consuming during the day, right? Because I make it real simple for people, especially if they don't know a lot about nutrition. Foods heal or steal. And that's it. They're either creating inflammation, right? They're stealing nutrients because you're not getting them in. And they're creating havoc, right? The body doesn't understand. And I'll digress real quick on it. I always use this instance. Who's traveled listening to this podcast in your mind, go back in time being in Italy or France or something like that, and eating a tomato or something that you bite into it and you're like, oh my gosh, I've never had a vegetable or a fruit or whatever it was. And then you're at the airport and you eat a tomato and a salad because you're trying to be good.
Oh, they're
And
terrible.
then you're like, I think it's a tomato, but I'm not sure if that's a tomato. It looks like one, but the human body's immediate like, that doesn't taste like one. There's no information in that. So we're constantly doing that. And if we eat too many stealing foods, and too many toxic compounds, not to mention the stuff which probably not time to talk about today, that we put on our skin, and then psychology in relationship to stress, which is also very undermined in terms of what we speak about, and mental health, the leaky gut won't get better. We'll just chase it. So you've got to fix the underlying pieces, which is why when I work with someone, I'm like, all right, we're kicking off with 3 months. Life, as you know, regenerate new cells. It takes time, but the body will heal. And then when you get it healed, you can keep it there. And it's not about not having fun. I'm a rule bender, always have been. I love having fun, whether it's out with my friends or we're golfing or getting together or doing whatever. I'm not a like bring my own salad dressings and dressing, to restaurants or whatever people do. And so leaky gut is really important. There's some great products out there, but I'm trying to emphasize if you don't fix the nutrition and lifestyle piece of it, you're chasing the carrot. If that makes sense.
I totally agree. How do we fix chronic stress and adrenal cortisol levels,
The old
in
HPA
this
access.
environment? I mean, you talked about heal or steal, like we're eating what we can, but what can we do about like stress from just being surrounded by concrete jungles and EMF and work and like self-inflicted stress?
Yeah, it's a really good question. So I think that it's unavoidable. Hormesis is happening, which is a good thing, but over too much, right? The old average of the there's too many back then. Whatever it used to be, getting chased by a tiger. Now we have tigers in every corner, including the thing we're talking on our computer or our phone. So it's managing it. We have to be realistic about these things. So for me, when we're talking about stress. And as you know, the body's not always differentiating between that physiological stress. Number one, you have to re completely reduce physiological stress you're in control of. So that when external stress comes to the body, that adrenal we're discussing of your stress gland, right? And we'll make it simple in terms of sympathetic, parasympathetic, has an easier time changing between parasympathetic and sympathetic. Most people that I work with come to me so nutrient deficient, whether we're talking leaky gut or permeability, overstressed. They've been beating the body up for the last, let's say they're in their 40s, it's at least 20 years, or they're in their 50s, it's at least 30 years. And when they get external stress from life, which is unavoidable, or our environment, how the body deals with that stress is poorly because internally, they have deficiencies, they have permeability, they're not eating right, they're not sleeping right. I mean, the list goes on and on. When you fix those, which is why I was like, start your day, eat right, fix your sleep. When you do that and stress comes, the way you deal with stress is better so that you can continue to push the envelope, which we all do, including me, right? I say 99% of the people I work with, including me, lead this lifestyle. The human body's like, what the f are you doing? So get your body in that state so that you can continue to press and not suffer the consequences. And then, of course, we have meditation, breathing. There's great apps out there. There's a ton of things you have to pick and choose because you don't want to try and do too many things either. So there's so many modalities, and knowing that stress goes to the gut has to be healthy, right? That's why I start with, and as you know, in integrative medicine, there was like, start with the gut.
I think you're absolutely right. We push ourselves so much. What can the average adult do when they just come to you with like, I'm just tired. I just got this adult fatigue and tiredness, and like I'm doing those things the best I can, eating a little bit of exercise, but I'm just freaking exhausted all the time. What would you do?
I mean, number one, as you know, as a doctor, we want to make sure they're not just getting the with the physicians I work with. If everything's clear and they're not just the I'm not dying blood test, like we know everything is good. We're not working against hormones. We're not working against getting an actual, not just getting TSH with thyroid, getting a full thyroid thing, right? We're not dealing with anemia. We have to cross those boxes off first. Agree?
Yes, agree.
Otherwise, I'm chasing things that I don't typically deal with, and not as a doctor. And then I'm like, "Why are you so tired?" And these people are like, "Oh, they're anemic." I'm like, "Well, okay. Good luck with that. Not transporting oxygen to the body, right?" So, what if those are all crossed off, and they're like, "I got a good, clean bill of health, and they've got the right laboratory test done." Then, of course, you think adrenals, you think gut. And so that's where our functional testing comes in beautifully, right? Because we're able to do those labs to kind of see what's going on. But let's go back to the beginning of the chat here. Just tell me about how you start your day and how you end it. I would say many times it's just that morning routine of rush, stress, dopamine steal, phone right away, drawing energy out of the body. Not getting sunlight, not getting proper hydration, overloading on caffeine or whatever they're doing, or eating too early, and especially because, as you know, the brain runs on sugar or fat. You get to choose. If you choose sugar, you're gonna be, I don't even know if they still do this, you're gonna be the greyhound chasing the rabbit, right? Rabbit around the track. You're just chasing it all day. So you don't master how you start your day, and then the amount of people that come to me who say I sleep well, and then when we start tracking sleep, and you actually they're like, oh, I slept 7 hours, and I'm like, you actually slept 4.5. They're in a deficit for sleep. I think Dr. Walker is my favorite sleep book, Why We Sleep. It's not even close, in my opinion. It's so important. And this may be out of context for some people, but I've always said I would take a decent nutrition plan. Like, they're good, they're not doing everything right. But they're a great sleeper, getting actually quality sleep of REM, deep, et cetera, than someone who's like got the super nutrition plan. We got the labs back, we developed it, but their sleep's terrible. I'm choosing A over B. Right? The one of the worst sayings in the world is, I'll sleep when I'm dead, or whatever people say, right? Like, it's like, no. The more science that comes out, right, Dr. K, that we know, like, sleep is, it's a non-negotiable to me. And setting that up. So I think that, I wish there was a one answer piece to people, but I always start like, are you doing that morning routine, especially with the hydration, sunlight, and movement? And then what do you, if I was in an elevator and someone said, I had to assess them, and they were like, assess me, and I have 30 seconds, I would say, tell me everything you do consume, we've talked about before. What do you do 3 hours before you go to bed? What do you consume visually? What do you consume auditorily? What do you consume orally? 3 hours before I go. That's my question. If I ask that question and they tell me, I bet you I could kind of gauge what's going on. Very difficult. No one's going to fix anyone in 30 seconds or one appointment or 1 hour or 2 hours. But you can get a ton if you have more time and you just say, hey, give me your first 30 minutes of the day and give me even the last 30 minutes of the day. Ideally, probably closer to 2 hours. You can gauge so much on what's going on. Because there's a lot of people that do a lot of good during the day. They get food delivery. They might, some people might be blessed when they have a chef, or they go out, they go to Whole Foods, or they get a really nice lunch, and they're really, but the problems arise of how we start and finish, from at least in my, 25 plus years of doing this.
Are there some supplements that you think are pretty essential for the average adult to be on?
Absolutely. We talked about magnesium, the magnesium glycinates. We have a product called Mighty Mag I love. And it's got, those Trax clean chelated magnesiums that are really good. So good magnesium, most people, a Calm is a very popular thing that people buy. It's just mag citrate, but it's better than not taking anything for sure. Clearly vitamin D, right? I mean, the research behind that and getting your levels checked. And again, at least my docs I work with in integrative medicine, when we go to like IFM and A4M and conferences and things like, I mean, it's 50 to 80-ish. Not like you're 32, you're in range. Not according to my experts. Depending on what someone's dealing with, I feel like a good antioxidant is very important because we're constantly exposed to oxidative stress, right? And for people on the listening today or watching, oxidative stress is, I call it the apple score. You cut an apple in half, you put lemon juice, which is ascorbic acid, on one half of the apple, and the other half doesn't get any, it turns brown very quickly. So I love the vitamin C's, of course. I liposomal, glutathione, curcumin, something to protect for the pace of life that we run at. I take multiple personally, so we want something in there. So we got our D, we got our magnesium, we have a good antioxidant from a good source, which is, as you know, we have to be very careful with what we take. Don't just find the cheapest thing on Amazon or at the store. And then, I would say a methylated, I'm not even saying multivitamin here. I'm saying a good methylated B complex to keep pills down, because not everybody's about pills. And it's tough, there are some great multis, but the good multis that have the methylated Bs end up being closer to four capsules. Would you agree?
I was going to ask you why a methylated B and what is the
Well,
significance?
the methylation, right, which you mentioned earlier, knowing that most of us have at least one of the SNPs on not being able to create the active conversion specifically for B9 and B12 and the host of issues that can cause. Good companies use the methylated version of these Bs. And even if we go back to B12, not everyone is even taking like a methyl cobalt in B12. A methylated, shot. Many people probably listening have had a B12 shot and went, whew, feels so much. I mean, how many decades have we been doing B12 shots? One time, right? So when we're under stress, back to what we talked about before, and most of us are leading a lifestyle, human body again is like, what the heck are you doing? We need Bs because they just disappear under stress. And you can't get it from food because, as we know, the soil in the United States is not great, even when we're getting great foods. Right, until we get back to regenerative farming, we're in trouble in less than 20 years.
Very true.
So you can't get it. I wish you could get everything from food. But if you move to a, there's more than five blue zones, by the way. There's blue zones all over the world. They're just not all documented. Until you move to a blue zone, you got to take supplements, in my opinion, in many others.
And then you mentioned that you're doing sub-Q NAD. Can you talk a little bit about that versus IM or IV or oral?
Yeah, so when I was in my integrated medicine practice in LA, which I still visit, and see people in person, but I'm mostly, doing telehealth, because all my test kits get shipped out to them, and just where we're at, spending more time with my kids and my family. I loved it. We were one of the first. I actually met Dr. Sinclair. He came into our practice back many, many moons ago. He was a brilliant man before his book came out. And we had a good chat with the main doctor I was working with, Dr. Dominique Reed. She's brilliant too. And it was so cool just listening to everything back when this was first coming to I think, more popularity. And I take a sublingual, I rotate because I think both camps of NR, nicotinamide riboside, and then we have our NMN. I think they both have validity, right? So I do both, I just rotate. And then I cycle sub-Q NAD. I used to do the IVs and I've done them in the past, which just takes forever. And you press the IV as fast as you can, and then you're like, my chest is gonna come back down. It was a joke between me and one of the docs I used to work with who could do the NAD thing faster. And I was like, this is the dumbest, funnest idea we've ever had. And getting close to an hour, and you're like, okay, I'm gonna pass out. Anyway, sorry, I digress. And so
Why
there
do you feel people get that reaction? Because a lot of patients have asked me, and I just think it's like so much energy production
Well,
and
right, I just think
anxiety.
about this. You're taking mitochondria, which is basically in every cell.
I'm turning them
You're
on.
bypassing the gut, and you're just dripping it in, and they're just like, Like they're freaking out. I mean, I think that it's just so much overload, like it's so unnatural.
Yeah, it's not a nature state.
No, so I love that's why I love sub-Q, right? I love that we get the little NAD bottles. I do sub-Q 5 days a week. Some people like to continue it. I like to give my body a break. I think overwhelming the body consistently with something is also not a bad is a bad idea. Which is why even one day a week I fast from, other than my magnesium at night and a couple of products, I don't take anything. I give my body a break. I think it's important. I don't think a lot of people do that, including some full fast days. So I take liposomal NMN, but again, as we know, this has been banned by the FDA. So, but it's still being sold. So, but I mainly take the, I do the, you know, we have a product called NAD Melt Longevity. That was compounded, that is based on Sinclair stuff, which is just is NR, and resveratrol. So I cycle them, right?
Which dose are you taking sub-Q?
And it's at on the insulin needle for, where's my insulin needle? I rotate. So it's, if this is the 30 units insulin needle, I usually do, it's 30. I've gone as high as 50. But when I'm doing it 5 days a week, it's 30 units 5 days a week, which works. We have patients that are super sensitive. They're at 15 or 20. Some people are every other day. I don't think it should be done personally based on the docs I work with. It shouldn't just be done like 7 days a week because you get an overload and then people one day will go to inject and they're like, they get that feeling almost like they're getting an IV.
And
Too
then
much.
how many milligrams is that in terms of your unit?
It depends on the bottles, what the dilution is, right? So, it's probably a fraction. If most people are taking between 300 and 500 milligrams of like a common one, like NR, you're trying to divide those dosages over the course of, what you're getting, obviously bypassing the gut. The dosage is just, that's the interesting about NAD, unlike magnesium. You're like, oh, nighttime takes somewhere between like 300 and 500 milligrams. It's pretty common. NAD, everyone's so different, right? Because I get a lot of people who are younger, like, I heard I should take NAD. I'm like, you're 24. There are bigger issues. There's bigger fish to fry, not NAD. But as you know, I'm 50, and as we age, getting 60 to 70, the percentage of NAD that you can lose, well over half as you get to the, over the next 20 years for me, or more, 70% in some studies. I think it's important, so I'm constantly doing that, but I don't do IM year round. I rotate it. I like cycle it like I do my peptides.
And what peptides do you think are great to be on in terms of like if people want to just start dabbling or researching or connecting with providers who do peptides, what's a good starting point and which peptides are best to trial in the beginning?
Gosh, that's the interesting thing, right? In relationship to like how many peptides are out there, right? We have, oh, so I think first we talk about injectables. So we were in a car accident a year and a half ago. My first bad one, guy ran through a stoplight with the whole family in the car on Mother's Day, head-on collision.
Oh, God, so sorry.
So I'm thankful for technology because everyone on the phone, because we're getting close to home, they were on their phones. They were all fine, but I'm like, shh. Right, shoulder, neck. So I'm on the phone literally calling my doc. I'm like, send me BPC 157. Right, because BPC 157, injectable. It's my favorite peptide. I love the oral. Every case that we get that's an IBD case or just gut case in general, huge fan of oral BPC 157. I love CJC 1295 with Ipamorelin combo. I've done that for skeletal muscle mass gaining as I've gotten older, just to help with recovery, building injury. It does some injury healing like BPC-1, but it's mainly for muscle growth, naturally. But people who want to get into peptides, work with a very good doctor, do your IGF testing, get everything done so you can make the right decision, and then make sure that they're using a good compound pharmacy. Because there's you can buy all these things on your own online. And I'm like, I don't know why people would do that.
Very, yeah. It's a little scary. What
It's scary.
IGF testing do you recommend?
With my docs, they're just doing the insulin growth like factors, both just testing, and they're looking at, and then you're also looking at hormones, right? The whole steroid pathway. I know a lot about this because I'm consulting with my doctors. We're talking, and I was brick and mortar, like, as you know, for 20 years, where we're sitting down, reading labs, and doing all this, right? So, I really like, that there's some great ones out there for, I don't know, there's, I'm trying to think, there's AOD, there's other ones for weight management, right? You've got all the thermos, you got the other, what's the other one, for brain,
Thymosin,
blank.
C-Lank, and then thymosin alpha beta.
Thymosin alpha beta is a good one. You have your tesamorelins and your other ones too that are similar for people that can't get the CJC or vimolamins. Well, that one's usually pretty easy to get. And unfortunately, a lot of these, MOTC was an old good one. There's a ton of these peptides that are great in not over-peptiding. It's the same thing though. I cycle them. I usually do 3 to 4 months on and then 2 months off.
It's so hard for people to gauge if a peptide is working or not. Is it how much
It
is placebo?
is the BPC-157, especially in gut cases, people are like 3 months on that thing, and they're like,
So
I mean, the
that's.
amount of patients we've had with my docs, especially the gastroenterologists, the integrated ones I work with, that get off of these biologics taking BPC-157. It's unbelievable. That one you feel. Sometimes you don't with some of the other ones. I would agree with that.
Is there a
But
recommended dosing or milligrams for BPC-157? Asking for a friend.
asking for a friend. Yeah, I mean, the most of the time, so like my poor mom who's staying with us, she fell Thanksgiving weekend and broke her humerus.
Well.
So same thing, right? Yeah, I know. It's so bad, right? You're just like, ugh. So it's been a rough ride. Everyone's been, goes through these things. So same thing on that insulin. Doesn't matter if you have the 100 milligram or the 30 milligram. Most people start or 15 to 20 units, and that's daily, minimum 3 months. And she's on her third checkup, and even the orthopedic was like, "How old's your mom?" I'm like, "Yeah, she's almost 80." She's like, "This is healing really fast." I was like,
Very.
"Do I say anything?" Because then, but I was like, "Well, we're she's taking a peptide." She's like, "I've heard about those," and I'm like, "Yeah, she's taking BPC-157." She's like, "Maybe you can send me some more information. I have no idea what it does." I'm like, "Yeah," and she's only been taking it for at that time like 6 weeks,
You
or
know,
not 6 weeks.
they don't teach them in
Me,
school.
I'm thinking about my case on 6 weeks for her. She's only been taking it for two, right? So Thanksgiving alarm's been, but and I think a lot of it's I've got her on gut protocol, because of all the painkillers she's taken. I've got her on curcumin. I've got her on, creatine and HMB and all these things for muscle, right? So she's taking a lot of supplements, I think, in a short period of time. But I do believe the BPC-157 in, the last, two and a half, or however long, 2.5 weeks has been a thing on her last follow-up earlier this week.
I think all of this is incredible. They definitely don't teach it in med school, and patients kind of have to teach themselves. People have to be their own advocate to figure out how they're going to age well.
Yeah, I think that's so true, which is why, everyone I work with coming from my traditional dietetics training, because there's so much to know, right? And I jump in, I think it's really important. I jump into peptides and NAD and longevity. That's phase two. Phase one, get your together, right? Start being human again. Eat the right foods at least 80% of the time. Master your morning. Eat in a proper window, whatever that window is for you. Everyone's different. And get good sleep. Master your PM most nights. And then get metabolically flexible so that when you don't and you bend the rules and you break the rules, which I do more probably often than most people would guess, your body's like, "I got your back. Everything's fine. You take care of me, I'll take care of you." But most people aren't doing that enough. And then when we're there, then you can kind of get into the biohacking can be done at any time. That's a whole conversation. But the longevity piece of it, whether it's related to peptides or NAD, infrared lights, grounding, all the different things that we can be doing. And I do put an asterisk there. I think it's hugely helpful, but I rotate the different things that I do because you can over biohack. and I, you know, people can, they listen to so many podcasts and they come to me with all this information. I'm like, pump the brakes.
Yeah, too much.
Right, let's pick a couple things at a time, whether it's peptides or otherwise. Don't overdo it.
Mm-hmm.
You get, the human body is amazing and we know a lot about it, but I think you'd agree, Dr. K, there's a lot we don't know.
Yeah, so the people are living in the blue zones without doing all this stuff.
They're not doing. That's when you said earlier. I was like, we can't live there. So that's why I was like, we've lost the art of being human. You have to fix the basics. And I feel people make it so, sometimes just incredibly more difficult than it needs to be.
Mm-hmm.
And if you fix those things and then get a basis and really feel, where are you physically? And very important, where are you emotionally, mentally? Then we can start to graduate and do small things. Don't do too many things at once. Pick two things. So anyone listening, you're not getting sunlight, do that and hydrate in the morning.
Okay.
Then what do you do? Just go, what do I do 15 minutes before I go to bed? Am I, is it fully lit up? I mean, my screen's orange here. I stare at an orange screen. You know, grab some glasses and you're going to be on tech. At least wear glasses before you go to bed. Just pick small things in terms of how you start and end your day. And then the third piece of it, just what are you eating? Is it real food? And on that, just knowing that mostly I do nutrition, I don't you find it interesting in those blue zones, as we talked about it, that these people literally all eat different foods, but they all live longer than anyone else. I'm like, stop putting people in buckets. You got to be carnivore. You got to be keto. You got to be vegan. I'm like, stop.
Mm-hmm.
What are your genetics? What do you like? Is it real food? Let's just get back to basics in terms of windows and the art of being human, and these other things will fall into place. I'm a big proponent of protein, obviously clean sources, and tend to lean towards the ancestral eating. But not everyone I work with does,
mm-hmm.
which is why these people in the blue zones, because we're forgetting about the common denominators in blue zones since we're talking longevity today, in relationship to gardening and stress, which we covered, and sunlight, and all of the things that these people are doing, and they're also eating real food, this sense of community, this psychology, they're not living in the stress that we live in. So it's crazy. You can make this huge list, but if we just kind of pick these non-negotiables and make it real simple and do one or two things, no more than three at a time, master those things over the course of 66 plus days, get better, add something else in. You're not going to fix everything in 2025 if you have all these New Year's resolutions in 3 months.
Yeah.
But you can make a big dent if you're committed to it, right? Mm-hmm. If you have 20 years of metabolic damage that you've just kicked your body's ass, do you think it's fair that it should only take a year to heal, 20 to 1? I mean, if you're in finance, that's a great ratio. But it's not going to be
true.
1 month. You're not going to do a cleanse in January for 2 weeks and magically feel amazing for the rest of your life, right? It'd be, but I think we got caught up in time, too. I think that's super important.
This is so motivating. Such a good chat to have right before New Year's and in the middle of holidays when we're surrounded.
Always,
by
yeah. I mean, you still have to have fun, right?
Yes. You still have to be human and have fun. You only got a short period of time on the planet.
There's no doubt. My daughter loves baking. If she comes out with some of the things, I'm not going to be like, sorry, Dad's not eating that. Like, come on, you got to live. This is, you do the hard work so you can live and have fun, right?
Yeah.
It's important.
Well, you've inspired me to do better in the morning and the evening. I'm going to work on it.
All right, good. Well, I appreciate that. And I just thank you for all the, you know, the good work that you do and all this great information you put up with all these people. I got to dig into your stuff. You know, we've known each other just a short period of time, but I love all the variety of people that you have in your podcast. You know, and I just tell everybody has clinical pearls. Anyone you interview, just pick a couple. And then work on them, implement them, right? And there's, everybody's going to give you those things and whatever sticks, we're all different. And ultimately, last thing I'll say is build a team.
Mm-hmm.
One person can't be on your team, but you're the team center. You need, I think everyone should have a good functional integrative nutrition, you know, person. I think everyone should have a functional medicine doctor. I think, you know, what you do in the skincare piece of it and outside of just what people have no clue exists is so important. And build a team. And make sure that team communicates as much as you possibly can, even if you have to be the quarterback for it, and you'll get to where you need to be. But don't fall into the trap of just going to get a physical once a year and think you're gonna, you know, fix longevity and be optimized as a human, because that just doesn't happen.
That's right. We're so complex. We are such complex organisms that Thank you so much, Derek, for your expertise. And tell everyone where they can reach out or find you and hear more about your amazing ideas.
Yeah, I'm in 2025. I'm going to be better on my Instagram. It's just at Derek Johnson Nutrition. Main one's just DJN. So it's Derek as in D as in Derek, J as in Johnson, N as in nutrition. DJN.health instead of .com. So there should be a little link on there that you can just click and set up a free 20-minute, if you're interested in like learning more about this stuff. It's a free 20-minute Zoom everyone gets. I want to know about you. I want to know about who you are and what you're trying to do and make sure I'm the right fit is why I do it. And if not, I can refer to different great physicians like yourself, Dr. K, if I'm not the person. So yeah, just Derek at sorry, DJN.health is my website. Yeah, at Derek Johnson on Instagram. And if if someone's like, I just want to email, it's just info at DJN.health. You can email us, we'll set things up. We're really easy and love working with people and digging into this stuff. So I appreciate the time and love being on. And again, thanks for all that you do.
Amazing. Well, guys, that's it for now. Don't forget to find me on my Instagram. It's Beauty by Dr. K, DRKAY, doing amazing things with people's faces and longevity and all of the things, regenerative aesthetics, actually. This whole new field is going to blossom. And I am very happy to be at the forefront of what we're doing. And, like you said, using the body's own amazing capabilities to turn on regenerative healing and youthfulness and vitality. That's it for now, guys. Stay beautiful.